Peggy, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Here we go. Texans up one, but here's Brandon McManus, 45-yard attempt, left hash mark. Snap is down, the kick is up, and it's good. The Texans lose as time expires, 24-22 to the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, you're in the loop, Sports Radio 610. You got John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Atitula, on a Reaction Monday. Brought to you by Shoppers John Deere. And, the reaction is to that particular play and all the plays that came before it that led to a Packers victory. Unfortunately, your Texans fall 24-22 in the last moments in what we had kind of set up as a really a game that would help us learn some things about these Texans. And so let's talk a little bit about what we learned. Get involved with the program, as always, is available to you. The YouTube is there for you, Sports Radio 610. The Twitch is there for you, 610 Houston. And, of course, the text line is there for you, 713-572-4610. Let us know what you think. Because Packers, this was the best team that you faced off against. D'Amico Ryan said this is the best quarterback that you were facing off against in the first 7 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And as a test, there was a lot of things that we were seeing you would be tested on, right? Mm-hmm. We knew that this Packers team turned the football over. We knew that this Packers team could run the football in explosive ways. There's a lot of things that you got that you could be tested on in the course of this. And it feels like the overwhelming thing that you learned from this test was actually about the offensive line.
Yeah, look, you said at the very top, this was going to be a game that we learned some things on. We did. We learned. And I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, the season's over. They got no shot at what they, you know, what their goals are, et cetera, et cetera. That's a bit much when you have some of the players that we know they have, when you have a defense that can, by and large, do the job. But we have our answer in the most important way. Like yesterday, we're going into week 8, man. We have our answer. And the question is, what is this offensive line? This offensive line is awful. Like, it's really bad. And I can illustrate it a couple of ways. I know you want to weigh in, Figgy wants to weigh in, but we now know, if there's a quote problem with this Texans team, it's the offensive line. There's no more, well, maybe this and maybe that. Well, Joe Mixon running the ball could really open the passing game up. Well, how'd Joe Mixon play yesterday? Pretty damn well.
Yeah.
And they got destroyed. They got destroyed on the offensive line. It is the only thing that can keep this team from getting where it wants to go. And that's the offensive line. And even worse, it's the highest paid unit on the squad. You have two guys that are in the top five in salary, in contracts. You have three in the top 10. And that's not counting the number 15 overall pick. We had things we needed to learn. We learned. This offensive line is a big, big problem.
Yeah, and that the frustrating thing about this for me was that you did a lot of the things that we were hoping you could do in order to win this football game, right? You won the turnover battle by three.
How do you lose that game?
Three turnovers. That is a team that has constantly had the likes of three turnovers in their benefits.
Yeah,
in order to win games throughout the course of the season, you ended up flipping that on its head. And you lost that game because you were entirely ineffective offensively. Mm-hmm. And all of that, really, I think you boil it down majority-wise. Obviously, there's no situation where it's all one thing in a game as complex as football. But offensive line really held you back in a lot of ways. And honestly, if you do not have Joe Mixon being the type of running back that Joe Mixon is, mm-hmm. I don't think you run the ball nearly as well either. And one of the things I like leaning on, it's one of those kind of truisms of football that I love, which is the game is about blocking and tackling.
Mm-hmm.
And when it came down to the blocking, it was really, really bad. And it wasn't that everybody was bad all the time. It just felt like even, you got out here and you have, it needs to be like hand in glove, right? Five fingers all moving towards the same end. And so many times, if you're going back and watching it,
It's just, oh, there's Kenyon Green, mm-hmm. you know, missing a block, or there's Shaq Mason misses some, or Juice Scruggs not getting to the place, or Laremy Tunsil getting beat off the left mm-hmm. side, or even sometimes Dalton Schultz getting beat off the left side. And it doesn't matter if everybody is pretty good, yeah. if at any given point, in any given juncture, one or two people are messing up, because ultimately the play is dead because yeah. you need everybody to pull their weight.
Look, man, you know, you have CJ Stroud. That's going to give you a chance. You have Joe Mixon. That's going to give you a chance. You have the defense. That's going to give you a chance. But let's talk about Stroud. He has been, as of today, pressured on pass attempts more than all but two quarterbacks in the league. More than all but two quarterbacks in the league, he's been pressured more. Zero quarterbacks have been hurried more than Stroud. In terms of pressure percentage, I know that's a stat that you look at a lot.
Yeah.
Only five teams have allowed more pressure than the Texans in terms of percentage of pass plays. This is ridiculous. And again, you can't downplay. It doesn't really matter on the field, but you can't downplay. This is where you invested the most money as a unit.
And that's just the money part of it. You've yeah. also invested a high level draft assets.
Exactly. Exactly.
And this is you're not even getting, I think, for the most part, over the entirety of the season, you're getting average play. That was not average play in that game.
No.
That was bad play.
Yeah.
And your incredible quarterback, who we've been leaning on already to this point to kind of make the offensive line right, even mm-hmm. when they are wrong, I think it says a lot that even in those instances, he was not able to make them right.
Like, right.
It was very problematic in the course of this. Your quarterback was constantly under duress, and that took him out of his place to be able to do anything offensively. Like they neutralized your passing game without really doing a lot on the back end. It was yeah. a lot up front. And the thing that was the most frustrating is that, again, you see some of the same refrains pop up time and time again, and that's the issue, right? Mm-hmm. I think where I had gotten to in trying to calm some of my nerves with this Texans team was, okay, I will buy into the D'Amico Ryans philosophy of just win the game and find incremental progress. Find places where you're getting yeah. better. This was not, you did not have an opportunity to say that this team got better, particularly offensively in the way that you played. And obviously you didn't scrap out a win. And a lot of that for me was when you talk about like the common refrains popping up against, you have simple games up front leading to completely wide open rushers yes. barreling down at number seven.
Yes. Look. And okay. So let's talk about that. Like the two best teams they have faced, and I know you can throw the Bills in there, and we will in a second. But against the Vikings, C.J. Stroud was pressured on 44% of his throws. 44% against the Vikings, he was pressured. He was 4 for 14 on third down. Now let's go to this last game. Against the Packers, he was pressured on 48% of his dropbacks. Half the time he was running for his life. That's on the offensive line. It speaks to whatever you is breakdown. What you were saying, breakdown here, breakdown there. They went 4 for 13 on third downs, and he was 2 for 7 passing on third down. Like it's the offensive line, and we also have the answer on: does Joe Mixon make the offensive line look good? Yes. Yes, Joe Mixon makes the line look better than they really are. So it's bad. I mean, it's not, you know, completely off the rails because they are leading the division still. They are, you know, maybe they can somehow in the second half make incremental progress. But the one thing that'll keep them from getting where they want to go, we have the answer. It's the line.
Yeah. And I look, as we're looking at the text line again, 713-572-4610. I think, yeah. 832 mentions that Stroud was visibly upset for maybe the first time this season.
Through his helmet.
And you could tell that there was like, that was a compounding frustration for yeah. him. That came immediately after he was again under siege. And yes, he does hold the ball a little much. And I think that is, again, a factor mm-hmm. of that not being able to trust that line to hold up, right? Some of the things that you go to in the course of this game, knowing that pressure is coming, saying, all right, get the ball out quick, use some screens. Those were not effective, again, because of how badly the line was being beat
yeah.
at various points, where I do wonder if, hey, getting the ball out quickly gets tough because, you know, your eyes have to come down very quickly
mm-hmm.
because the guys in front of you are letting a easy stunt or something, a game with the tight end or the tackling end come free. And so, I mean, look, a lot of praise is due to the other side of this, the coaching staff on the other side of this, particularly Jeff Hafley, I think, as yeah. a defense coordinator, does some good things. But it's not like it was super exotic. It was just at various points, either simple stuff that they were doing up front or just recognizing that we know what's coming over there and we know what you can and can't do. D'Amico Ryans actually talked about some of this yesterday after the game. He was asked how much the Packers stunts and getting pressure affected him.
I think anytime you can, as a defense, they were able to get pressure, whether it's with the stunts or with the blitzes, right? It affects us. Affects the passing game, and we saw that today. But it's no excuses. We have to protect it. We have to go make plays.
Look, and you know, you're talking about like against the good teams. You can get by with this stuff against some teams, but you can't do it against the good teams. Even the Bills game, you know, one that they managed to win largely because of C.J. Stroud. They were pressured a lot. So, like, the three best teams you faced, he's been running for his life. And then yesterday, and maybe I'm reading too much into it, but you kind of alluded to it there, and you got me thinking about it, you know, like him holding the ball or whatever. C.J. Stroud, if you're not careful, and I think we saw a little bit of this yesterday, he bails a lot sooner from the pocket, or at least stepping up in the pocket or whatever,
oh, yeah,
than he would have otherwise, than he has in the past. And why is that? Because he knows my line ain't going to hold up. So, like, even C.J. Stroud, like, again, stepping up, didn't see a lot of that.
No.
You know, a lot.
No, you didn't. And that's one of the things that's it's kind of crazy. C.J. Stroud will never say it. He's, you know, great teammate.
Yeah.
He really operates by what the book, if there is one, on, like, how to handle being a quarterback, particularly a young one, being a leader, all those things. But you can tell in his play it belies a lack of trust in the offensive
Absolutely.
Line. And I don't think that you can get anything done with your quarterback already having to worry about what's happening on the line and them not getting the job done. Now, I will say the quarterback does hold a little bit of responsibility, and some of this maybe you can attribute to him being a young quarterback in this. There's various points, like there's points where I look up and I go, hey, man, they're sending five. You have your five offensive linemen and a running back, and you have people coming scot-free. And it's not just that they missed an assignment. It's clear that there was either a miscommunication or you simply did not set your protection properly. And I don't know who that you individually placed the responsibility on. So I feel like you can give it to all of them, right? Offensive line, C.J. Stroud, maybe even coordinator for not being able to set protection. But it feels like time and time again, you are being pantsed protection-wise, and you're not going to be able to get anything done, particularly in this level, right? Maybe you've been able to make this happen. I think Brad on the text line asked, like, how can you have the offensive line be so bad in some instances and be so good in the other instances? I feel like in other instances, you're just being able to make do with a similar offensive line play, but you're able to make enough plays for this to be all
right.
Well,
that's why we talk about the Bills game.
And again, I feel like that's the caliber of team you're playing against. If you really want to be Super Bowl caliber or whatever, right? Like, all of this is fine and good. When you're getting to the playoffs, you're playing against good teams that are going to be able to identify weaknesses and pick at those scabs. And one of those is clearly offensive line. You're not going to get very far unless this gets better. And the thing that scares me is I'm starting to get to a place where I don't see the path forward on getting better.
Right. That's what I'm saying. That's why, you know, from the very jump today, I'm like, we have our answer. What can we do here? You know, can we put this guy in or that guy in? Like, you know, we're going to talk about the secondary and other places and all the receivers and all that today, of course. There are options there. What are your options on the offensive line? First of all, you've made the commitment, as we've talked about, financially and with draft equity. And secondly, they've been in their two worst games. They've had their starting five. Packers had all these guys. They had their starting five. Vikings, they had the starting five. Bills, they had the starting five minus Titus Howard, who was out. They had Blake Fisher playing against the Bills. So, like, this is who you're going with. How does it get better? I don't know, because I think after seven games and going into week eight, you don't have a lot of options. And you talk about schematically, yeah, there's some scheme problem. I mean, you had a couple plays where, and I think Romo talked about it during the broadcast. Like, you had the tight end and a tackle going, blocking one end, and then there's a free runner right to the right of the tackle. You know, that would be Laremy Tunsil in the one I'm thinking of. So, no, they're bad, and there's not a lot of options.
Yeah, C.J. Stroud was asked in some ways about this. He said, obviously more offensively, but I think we've all diagnosed that the offensive line was a large part of why offensively they couldn't get things done. Offensively, how do you feel like you guys can bounce back from this?
I mean, you got to watch the tape, but usually when you play bad or you come off the field, it's not as bad as it seems. It's usually, you know, you shot yourself in the foot a million times. And, you know, I think that's what we did. We just kept shooting ourselves in the foot once again.
And I think, you know, that's just a recipe for disaster when you're playing against a great team. You know, I think our defense did a great job today. I thought our special teams did amazing, you know, so we got to be better as offense. You know, this is on us, point blank, period.
And there's so many instances where when asked about, like, we just got to be better, we just got to execute. But, like, I want to see what actually that means, mm-hmm. you know, and there definitely needs to be some level of lock-in because, again, it feels like there's lapses in focus that then end up with, you know, one player busting on the line and, you know, they're then being a player in the backfield. 11 tackles for loss in the course of this game. And so one of the things you mentioned, Romo also talked about how you have so many condensed formations. And I know that they like getting everybody involved. And this is more of a run game situation. But even then, right, like sometimes in the past, you just have, and I think Seth mentioned this in the morning today as well, you have a lot of people there and it kind of makes it tough to be able to even diagnose all the people that are going to be coming at CJ, and I do wonder, hey man, if you just spread it out, right? And one of the teams I thought about, and this is college as opposed to NFL, is Colorado. They know they don't got a good offensive line. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways they combat it is they just spread this thing out, right? And that'll move guys out of there, and it limits the number of people that can be in that box, and it at least gives you a clear picture of what is going to be attacking the quarterback. And I do wonder if they need to do some of that and abandon, maybe not even abandon, but lessen some of this condensed, you know, a lot of people in the middle of this field because it seems like it's not helping the offensive line, right? You had Laramie Tunsil trip on, or not Laramie
Titus
Tunsil,
Howard.
Titus Howard, rather, trip on Dalton Schultz.
I should not laugh.
Like, you'll get some of that congestion out of here. You make it more apparent, and then I think it's easier for then CJ to see what's coming at him and diagnose it because we know he's good at getting out of those situations, but just got to find ways to make it easier. And the worst thing about it is I feel like I've gotten to a place where I'm already content with the idea that the offensive line is going to be about this level of problematic.
No, look, I'm with you on the spreading them out, and I think that's something that that may have to be tinkered with offensively because they know what they've got. They might say one thing publicly, but they know this offensive line. Look at C.J. Stroud throwing his helmet, D'Amico sort of talking around it a little bit. They know that this is just not getting it done. And you know, a texter from the 281, from the 314, said this game was winnable. The offensive line lost the game. Yes, it was. You couldn't get a more winnable game. You couldn't have gotten, this would have been more remarkable than the Buffalo game by far, because they got the three turnovers, as you mentioned. They got set up deep in the opposing territory, the interception from Hewitt, and you're still down, you know, fighting for your life and being drastically outplayed.
Yeah, and I think that when you say this game is winnable, I don't want that to obscure the depth of this issue here, because this game was winnable because your defense and special teams gave you some really outstanding play.
Yeah.
You literally, again, I'll bring this back to it, you won the turnover battle by 3 and you lost the game on a last second field goal. Like, you should have been able to cruise to this in some ways. You win a turnover battle by 3, you should have a stark advantage in a game. And it just didn't feel like that. And that feels like not only about the offensive line, but a lot about how underperforming the offensive line was in general. There's a lot more to touch when it comes to this 24-22 loss to the Packers for your Houston Texans. And we'll get into all that on a Reaction Monday. Keep getting involved. Text line 713-572-4610. Coming up next, I kind of want to just get a little bit wider view. Let's get a 30,000-foot view on this game with OG's passing thoughts. We'll do that next in the loop.